Welcome to our Sunday morning worship service here at Marvin Methodist Church in downtown Tyler, Texas. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. Today, we continue our sermon series entitled The Invitations of Jesus. Together, we will explore 8 invitational passages from our Lord, and I look forward to sharing with you in this transformational series. Let's join in as we pray for God to do a good work in us through His Holy Word.
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I invite you to join me now in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a good work in us, we pray. Hide me now behind the cross. And if we do not hear your word through the words of this man, then God, speak to us in the quietness of our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, who brings revelation to us, inspires us, convicts us, and challenges us. Lord, do a good work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week I shared with you that Gene and I, as we celebrated our 39th anniversary, we went to Lake Travis. And there we rented a boat, and we rented a jet ski, and we were with our grandchildren, 4 of the 7 of our grandchildren, as well as our kids and some of their spouses, and we were able to share on a wonderful time at the lake. Now, my 2-year-old Anna, first time on the boat, not having the best of experiences, spent most of her time on her nanny's, granny, that would be Gina's lap. And but my 5-year-old, who is a very good swimmer, has a pool in his backyard even, was invited to, he was enjoying, let's just say, the time on the boat as we went out there. But then we got to the middle of the lake, and we stopped the boat, and the jet ski was buzzing around us, and we said, "Callan, let's get out and swim." And he was not having it, right? He was a 5-year-old grandson who was like, "No, I'm staying in the boat. Boat's fine with me." And you think about that, he's thinking about what he's observing and all the things he's taken in as a 5-year-old. Well, it wasn't long. What we begin to watch is little Callan went from, "No, I'm not getting out of this boat," to standing on the ladder at the back of the pontoon boat with his feet in the water. And from then, it was jumping into the water because Dad said he would hold on to him. Of course, everyone had life jackets on, and he would swim with his cousins and his sister. And it wasn't long before Callan was then on the jet ski with my son Brian and eventually with me, and yelling all the time, "Faster, faster, faster," right? So friends, that's a story I want you to hold on to. We'll come back to that at the end. But friends, I want to talk about cognitive reframing just for a moment. It's a technique used in counseling as well as spiritual formation. Sometimes we get locked in on a very small perspective, and if we can look at the situation or a person or a relationship in a different way, a different perspective, if we can frame it differently, then we can find ourselves maybe enjoying the situation from a different point of view. When the frame is shifted, meaning there'll be some change, we can think differently, we can behave differently, we can maybe enjoy things that we didn't see before. And that certainly is the case for my grandson, Callan, who went from just, "I'm not getting off this boat," to now having the time of his life, going about 35 miles an hour across a lake on a jet ski. So friends, I share with this with you just to remind you that as we talk about the Holy Spirit today, we're going to challenge you at the very end to talk about getting out of the boat of comfort and just thinking about getting into the water and just warming up to the idea as we pray the Holy Spirit come and do a good work in us, reframing the experience, but most importantly, for my grandson Callan and for you as well, when you experience the work and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll become more comfortable as you maneuver through the world as you serve Christ in his kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. A couple things I'd like to do today. I want to just give some context to our scripture lesson. As I read the scripture lesson for you this morning, just a moment ago, I said, on the last and greatest day of the festival. Well, you need more information than that. So we're going to talk about what festival was Jesus at? What was the history of the festival? And if you will, we're going to pan out from this festival, and we're going to get a greater storyline, a great salvation story of a work that God had done during the Exodus, providing water for his people. And as we get a different perspective, we'll see a faithful God at the beginning, a God who is speaking to his people there at the temple where Jesus is giving the invitation to come and drink of the waters, and even a forward thought as we think about what it means for us today to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we'll be talking about the Exodus today. We'll be even talking about some of Isaiah's prophecy about drawing water from the wells of salvation. We're putting today's story in a greater context. Using what I just mentioned a moment ago, we're reframing the story to give you a panned out view so you can see where we are today in this offer to receive the living waters of the Holy Spirit. That's what verse 39 said. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And the good news is we are later to receive it. We are on this end of the glorification of Christ. Christ has died, yes, we'll commemorate that today as we share in Holy Communion to forgive us of our sins, but Christ was raised from the dead. Christ ascended back to the Father in heaven, and he promised us before he left that it is to your advantage that I go, because if I go, a helper will come, the Holy Spirit. And so we are claiming on this side of it the full promise of the living waters of the Holy Spirit. Living water that flows from within is the Holy Spirit. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit's living water is available to you and should be flowing out of you in beautiful ways. So let's go look at the context of this scripture. If you have your Bibles open and you're in John chapter 7, you'll see my Bible says, the NIV gives a little headline for chapter 7. It says, Jesus goes to the Festival of Tabernacles. So what is the Festival of Tabernacles? Well, let's give you a little bit of the backstory. The Festival of Tabernacles is established in probably in Leviticus as well as Deuteronomy as a way to commemorate God's people coming out of Egypt, entering into the wilderness for 40 years, and their struggle for water and food and God's provision for that. You know that while they were in that transition before getting to the promised land, they lived in tabernacles, temporary tents made with posts and canvas, and they would put these up in the desert, and when God's cloud or God's fire at night moved, they would pack up and they would move along with them. They were following the presence of God. And so while in this transit and living in these shelters, now, as they were established after the Babylonian captivity, back in Jerusalem, back in the temple area, they are celebrating, looking back to the past. What were they celebrating? God's provision. Because when they got to the wilderness, what happened? They ran out of water. And they moaned about it. And they groaned about it. And they went to Moses about it. Did God bring us out here to die? And God said to Moses, Moses, take that staff that you have in your hand and strike that rock, and water will come forth. Moses was obedient to God. He struck the rock at Meribah, and water came forth. God provided for his people. So that's the past story. Now let's find ourselves in the temple. It's the eighth day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And for the preceding 7 days, a priest has gone down to the Pool of Siloam. He has taken a golden pitcher. He has filled water up at the Pool of Siloam. He has gone in procession to the Temple Mount, to the altar of God. All along the way, the pilgrims lined it, and they sang some of the hymns of the church. They sang Psalms 113 to 118. That's what my Bible study had showed. And so those hymns of the church were sung. People were celebrating the faithfulness of God. And then he got to the temple area. area, and he got to where the altar of God was. There were two cups poured out. First, there was a cup of wine, celebrating coming into the provision of the promised land. That was poured out on the east side of the altar, and on the west side of the altar was poured out this golden pitcher of water from the pool of Siloam. That's the story of what's happening in the middle. Things I read this week said that this ritual was to illustrate Isaiah 12:3. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, Isaiah wrote at a very interesting time. People are being taken off into captivity, but he was not only speaking about one Messiah who would come one day and deliver his people, and God establishing a great kingdom in the future. He was also speaking about the waters of salvation that would come through this great Messiah, and the waters of salvation that were to be celebrated there as they celebrated the harvest there at the altar in the temple. But on the last day, on the eighth day, which the scripture clearly states, on the eighth day, there was no procession. For 7 days, the priest would do this in the morning, this walk with all of the people, the pouring out of the offerings. But on the eighth day, there was a ceasing and a stopping. It was a time to be reflective. It was a time to celebrate the good of God. It was called, the eighth day was called Shemini Atzeret. And friends, listen to this very clearly. It pointed to the coming reign of God's kingdom, to the ushering in of a new heaven and a new earth. The people were transported at that day in Jerusalem to be thinking about the future, and the future when God's kingdom would come to earth, and in his glory, God would be revealed. They were to focus on the intimacy of the relationship that they had with God, and they were also to be moving away from the conscious provision of God's physical needs for them to God meeting their spiritual needs. That's the eighth day, and that's when Jesus steps up, and Jesus makes his declaration. Jesus says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Anyone who is thirsty. Are you thirsty this morning? Has life wrung you out? Do you feel parched at times and want a refreshing filling of God's Spirit within you? Then you are in the right place and in the right passage, and you're at the right table. Because today you're going to be nourished by the sacrificial body and blood of Jesus Christ, and you'll be refreshed by his word and the power of the Holy Spirit. The greater context of Jesus declaring, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink," were followed by the words, "Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Just like the people were dependent upon the living waters at Meribah, there in the desert, in the wilderness, when God provided water for them, I want to tell each of you here today, God is providing living waters for wherever your circumstances, whatever desert you might find yourself in today, God can bring you the power of the Holy Spirit to lift your conscience and to lift your heart and to bless you with his presence. The Apostle John adds in his commentary, by this he meant the Spirit that would be later given after Jesus is glorified. Friends, as I said a moment ago, Jesus has been glorified. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:4 that the Hebrew children drank from a spiritual rock in the desert, and he declares that that spiritual rock was Jesus Christ. So when Moses struck that rock, living water came forth for the people to drink and to be refreshed by it. And let me just tell you, as we set the table here for communion today, Jesus Christ has been crucified for us today. Isaiah 53, he was struck, he was afflicted, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. And because of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, our Lord, him being struck by the world and its sin, he has been resurrected on the third day, and on the 40th day when he ascended back to be with God in heaven, he told his disciples, "Wait here you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The church is the witness of the living waters of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this, friends. I've sometimes misremembered, and I almost did just a moment ago. Jesus never said, "I am the living water." It's not there in his I am statements. I remind you of John 4, the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus asks her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." But then later in verse 4:14, he says, "The water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Sustenance, salvation, refreshment, spiritual blessing that never runs out. Wow. Does that sound good to anybody but me? What a wonderful gift that God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit and his ministry in us. Now, this week, I watched a podcast of an interview with Bishop Carolyn Moore, one of the Global Methodist Church's bishops. And in that podcast, she talked about a Global Methodist Church that is a Holy Spirit-filled movement in the Wesleyan tradition. Sounds very exciting to me. But to be honest, I attended seminary from 1986 to 1990. There wasn't a lot of talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our ministries. I probably wrote a paper on pneumatology, the theology and the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit in the Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church, in which I was ordained in 1989 and again in 1992, has never emphasized the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you here in our new Global Methodist Church, we are seeking the movement of the Holy Spirit in and about our ministry. I'm not afraid to be a Spirit-filled pastor of the Global Methodist Church. And I am seeking to grow in my understanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the living waters to guide me in ministry. I have always been of that, I would echo with the Apostle Paul, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I believe that Christ dwells in my heart through faith. But I also believe, friends, that the Holy Spirit dwells within me as well and does you as well. Pastor John Mark Comer, in his book, Practicing the Way, says this: "If Jesus did his work in the power of the Spirit, how much more do we need the Spirit to carry on the same work?" Thankfully, there's good news. Jesus did not leave us dependent upon our own natural abilities, our own talents, or our own energy, or lack thereof. He gave us his Spirit to empower us with his capabilities. We do Christ's work and the work of the church by his power, not by our own work, by our own limited resources. Can I get an amen? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the incredible mission for which God has called us to fulfill in this day and age in the church. And let me share with you a few instances where I have seen the Holy Spirit at work in my life and in the work of this church. I believe the Holy Spirit is already moving among our church. And here are just a few examples of it. We have seen really amazing divine healings happened recently in the life of this church with Reverend Randy Stevens. We've seen it with Kara Story. We've seen someone we were just praying about last Sunday who is making a turn for better. We have seen the healings which are a fruit of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've responded to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, going to see individuals when God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, puts it on my heart to make a pastoral visit. I want to speak of one specific example. Gene and I were at a wedding reception for one of our staff members. And I told Gina, "We have to leave. I feel prompted. I need to go see Dr. Pat Thomas," who was at hospice at the time. And friends, I left that reception. I took Gina home. I went to Hospice of East Texas, And I prayed with and sung to and read scripture with Dr. Pat Thomas. And within 10 minutes after my leaving, he went on to glory. Now, why is that important to me? Because I felt so strongly that the Holy Spirit told me to go and to see my dear friend who was a prayer partner for me for over 10 years. I'm not sure the visit was so much for Dr. Pat as it was a visit for me. But that's how the Holy Spirit works. When the Spirit prompts you, it is to the blessing of all involved, not just for you, not for selfish reasons. It is the blessing for all to receive. I have been convicted by the Holy Spirit to connect with a person, to confess a sin when I have felt that I have been wrong, defensive, or maybe judgmental. And I've had to go back to that person and say, I handled this situation wrongly. Why did I do that? Because I felt in my heart the Holy Spirit knocking on my heart saying, you handled that poorly. You must go back and talk to that person and rectify the pathway. I have needed inspiration. I have been reminded of scriptures, and I've been reminded of illustrations right on time when they have been needed. I attribute that to the work of the Holy Spirit in my ministry. And when I have needed comfort, and I've experienced that comfort, it's come through the promptings of the Holy Spirit's peace and the prayers from Romans 8, 26, who it says, he prays for us with groanings too deep for words when we don't know how to pray. Anybody else want to say that they are glad for the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in this church? Because the Holy Spirit is personal, we can know him and fellowship with him. Because the Holy Spirit is divine, we can worship him and obey him. Because the Holy Spirit is active, we can rely on him to do his perfect work in our lives. Like giving a thirsty person a glass of water, Jesus offers to all of us here today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, living water to quench your thirst. If you're feeling parched and wrung out today, come, Holy Spirit, do a good work in us. Friends, the Holy Spirit is not an elective that you take in seminary. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And according to Jesus' words in John 14, 17, the Holy Spirit lives in you and will be in you. So will you be praying with me? Fill me, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit. Now, real quick, back to a five-year-old who's in a bigger situation than ever. Someone who's comfortable with a pool where you can see the bottom, who's comfortable in a pool where there's no fish in the pool, who's comfortable in a pool swimming around because, you know, it's comfortable, it's small. But then you get him out to a bigger lake and he's got to slowly work his way into it. So I'm very clear and honest with you today. You cannot learn to swim if you stay in the boat. And the same is true with the power of the Holy Spirit, friends. If we do not embrace the power of the Holy Spirit, pray for the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and in this church, we will never learn to know the adventures that are waiting for us. And just maybe, go faster. Come on, let's do this. Jesus stated in Luke 11, 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'm thinking about young Callan again. We're coaxing him, come on out, get on the boat, have some fun. And I see God doing the same to each of us here today, coaxing us, step into the kingdom of God, step into the work of the Holy Spirit. And you will see your power, and you will see your efficiency, and you will see the fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Come, Holy Spirit. So these words from Jesus, come and to me and drink. Are they just words from a festival a long, long time ago in the city of Jerusalem? Or are they a promise to his believers here at Marvin Church in Tyler, Texas. A good God, as we pan out again, a good God who is faithful to provide for those thirsty in the wilderness will provide the goodness that we need. And we trust God with that as we trust God today with Holy Communion and the stone that was struck, Jesus Christ, for our sins, that we might live through him. We see Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, inviting us to find forgiveness of sin and through his atoning sacrifice that we might be restored to a relationship with God and then released through the power of the Holy Spirit with the living waters dwelling in all who put their trust in him. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, river of living water. Flow within us all. We do not want to neglect or miss out on the life that you have prepared for us. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. In the spirit of the one who invites us to experience life with God, I want to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Methodist Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please use the QR code on the screen for online giving or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us. May the peace of Christ be yours.